Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles every Tuesday night at 7:15.
You're listening to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles. Tonight we have a fantastic interview lined up for you with Chris Gardner from In the Pursuit of Happiness. That was the role played by Will Smith, in fact an Oscar-nominated role, around the story of doing what it takes to achieve happiness and success for you and your family. This is one of the first interviews that we're going to be lining up for you over the next few weeks for the National Achievers Congress South Africa 2014. Now, this is going to be hosted at the end of August, August 30th and 31st, and we still have that fantastic special offer for you from Success Resources. So if you'd like to buy your ticket and get one free, you can go to nacsouthafrica.com/mixfm. Now, I just believe that Chris Gardner is the most fantastic man. He's the headline act. What a way to kick off our interviews this year. And we'll be bringing Chris Gardner. Actually, so much, but let's wrap it up into The Pursuit of Happiness, the book on the story of Chris Gardner's life, which has been translated into 40 different languages and then, of course, was made into the film, which starred Will Smith. But looking at Chris Gardner's life, he was homeless while struggling to become a stockbroker. He was bringing up his young toddler son, Christopher Jr., and many of us will know from the story that they couldn't find a shelter to take them both. He would have to give up Chris to be able to carry on doing what it was that he wanted to do. And he didn't give up. He carried on selling direct, learning to be a stockbroker. And now in 2012, he is the CEO of his own brokerage firm, Gardner Rich and Co. And he shares his time between Chicago and Toronto. He's a philanthropist. He's an entrepreneur. He's an investor. He's a stockbroker. And he is actually an all-around inspirational man.
Next. Chris Gardner, welcome to The Success Show on Mix 93.8 FM.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me very much.
We're absolutely delighted to have you on air, Chris. And before we get into your incredible life story, and goodness me, what a story it is, which moves and inspires so many people, the first question I'd like to ask you is, have you ever been to South Africa before?
Of course. Look at my shirt.
I'm afraid I'm not on visual.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Not at all. So you have been to our country before, Chris?
I've been to South Africa more than any place I've ever been on the planet. I absolutely love it. And I have found my next home. It is in a little place called Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, goodness me. Everybody falls in love with the mountain, huh?
Oh, my God, the tablecloth. Yes, yes, sir.
Well, Chris, that's fantastic. So you're no stranger to our country or our shores then?
No, not at all.
Now, Chris, I was going through the information that was sent, your bio and the information available on you on the net. And I picked up that you were born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1954. And it was also pretty clear from the information that you didn't have an easy childhood. Chris, would you mind sharing more about your early years with our audience and what key life success lessons you extracted from those experiences?
I will say this. As difficult as my childhood may have been and was, I was also blessed to have a mother that gave me permission to dream and taught me that I could do or be anything. And that, sir, is an invaluable lesson that I'm thankful for every day of my life. So no matter what the challenges were, I had the blessings of my mother and others who helped me to believe that I could do and accomplish anything that I wanted to do or accomplish.
Wow. Goodness me. And that certainly must have started a program for success within your mind, huh?
There's no doubt. Absolutely. That was the very beginning.
Now, Chris, if I look at your years beyond school, Your life certainly took a few interesting turns. I noticed that you enlisted for the Navy. You also were involved in medical research and co-authored some articles in medical journals. I found that fascinating, having come out of a scientific background myself and absolutely loving to publish material. And I guess the question that I'd like to pose to you now is, what was going through your mind at that stage of your life? I mean, were you actually thinking about success and riches, or were you actually just having fun and leading a pretty carefree life?
No, never. My thoughts and ambitions from a very early age was that I was going to become world class at whatever I did with my life. My first ambition in life, I don't know if you read the book or not, but my first ambition in life was I wanted to become a musician, and not just a musician. I wanted to become Miles Davis. I made up my mind as a young guy, I was going to become Miles Davis. I had to accept that, hey, it was my mother who helped me to accept it. Son, you can't be Miles Davis because he's already got that job. So you got to be you. So my point is, I made the decision that I was going to become world class at whatever I did with my life. And whatever I did do, the discipline and the focus that it took to become a magician, a musician, those skills were transferable into my pursuits for the rest of my life. I work in the military and the Navy, my work in the university hospital system in San Francisco led me to Wall Street. And what I'm trying to say is, I share this with everyone, every opportunity I get, the job that you're doing right now might not be the job that you want to be doing the rest of your life. However, skills, talent, and expertise are transferable. The key is to find opportunities to transfer those skills into doing something that you're truly passionate about.
Chris, I love that. And so many of the people that we've interviewed on the Success Show over the years talk about purpose and finding what your purpose is in life. And when you're living life on purpose, you really are in your power zone, so to say. Now, what I found quite interesting, again, referring to your bio and the material on you, is that on your 26th birthday, you made a really big decision from what it seems, and that was a decision to abandon your dreams of becoming a medical doctor. Now, Chris, why did you do this? What prompted you to make this decision, and what reactions did this decision of yours bring about?
Well, the truth of the matter is, I had a mentor at that time that was pointing out to me how medicine was about to change radically, and pointed out to me very specifically that becoming a physician was not necessarily going to be the economic package that it had been in the past.
I see.
We were beginning to see the development of something we call organized medicine here in the States. And the HMOs, the health maintenance organizations, taking over the business side of medicine as well as medicine. And he pointed out to me that, you know what? This might not be as lucrative as it used to be as a physician. And thank God he pointed that out to me, because I was prepared at 26 to invest the next 10 to 12 years into developing those skills. And you could come out with those skills into a world that's radically changed. So it was Dr. Bob Ellis who pointed that out to me, and I'm so thankful to him to this day.
Well, it's fascinating to hear you say that, Chris, because it seems not too long after that, your life also took yet another fascinating turn, and that was the birth of your son, Chris Jr. in 1981. Now, having been there and done that, the birth of a child is always, as much as we prepare ourselves for it, we just have no idea what the birth of a child really constitutes. It certainly seems as if the birth of Chris Jr. heralded quite massive change in your life. Would you care to elaborate on that, please, Chris?
Absolutely. And the truth of the matter is, one of the things that I'm going to be speaking with folks in South Africa about and all over the world is that the most important, challenging, and empowering experiences of all of our lives are the universal experiences. Now, you mentioned specifically the birth of a child. I will say to you, the birth of a child, a graduation, a marriage, a new business opportunity, a new home, the loss of a loved one, those are universal experiences, and it probably feels the same in South Carolina, South America, or South Africa. Okay? And that is what makes us human. That is the key element in this family we call humanity, is these universal experiences. And these are the things that I'll be hoping to share August 31st at the National Achievers Congress in Johannesburg.
Well, we certainly are looking forward to hearing you elaborate on that. And I love the way you use the term universal experiences. Goodness gracious me, that is so powerful. As a dad and as a parent, I have found that children absolutely challenge you to your very, very back teeth, if I may. And sometimes you sit there and you scratch your head and you think, what next? And it's almost as if the child or the children in your life are there to teach you a very profound lesson, and that is just to open your heart a little wider each time and just to love a little more unconditionally. What would you think about that?
I think there's only one thing better than that, and there's something called a grandchild.
Well, fortunately, I'm not there yet, Chris.
Hang around. That will be your reward. And let me say this. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I do not know what the numbers are in South Africa, but here in the States, 38% of all households are headed up by single parents.
Very similar here in South Africa.
Okay. And that is a whole different skill set. I mean, to be the mom and the dad, that is a whole different skill set. And I did not know how many single parents there were in this country, and not to mention the world, until I was doing the keynote or the commencement address at the University of California in Berkeley. You do that address a certain way. You congratulate the mothers, the fathers, the big brothers, big sisters. But on this day, something made me say a special shout out to all of my fellow single parents, to all the mothers who had to be fathers and all the fathers who had to be mothers. And I was amazed at the number of young people who walked up to me at the end of that session and said to me, "Mr. Gardner, I'd like you to meet my mom, but she's been my dad too. I'd like you to meet my father, but he's been a pretty good mother too." And you do the research, and those are the numbers, 38%.
Well, it's incredible to hear you say that. And right now, my wife and business partner, Suzanne, and I are actually working on an entrepreneurial TV series here in South Africa, which is celebrating young South African entrepreneurs and is really there to educate, inspire, and motivate young people into entrepreneurship. And so many of the case studies that we are receiving are from children who really have gone through the years of growing up, if you will, under the tutelage and guidance of a single parent. Yeah. So it's absolutely huge. Now, Chris, to begin to dig a little more into your business and your professional career, if I may, As I was going through all the material and reading your book, what absolutely astonished me, and gosh, my mouth hung open, and I think there's no other way to describe it, was how you managed to juggle fatherhood, work, that's being a stockbroker, and homelessness. I just sat there absolutely scratching my head. And at this moment, I just have to really just say what an incredible man I think you are. I've also been through very, very tough times in my life. I don't think I've been through anything quite close to what you went through. But the thing that really got me, and this is where I wanted to take this line of questioning, was when you were experiencing those adverse and extreme circumstances, did you ever feel like giving up? Where did you find the strength and the belief to keep going every single day, Chris?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. And the truth of the matter is, I'm going to talk extensively about that in my new book. I'm putting forward a concept that I'm calling spiritual genetics, meaning we all understand genetics. You're going to get your father's eyes, your mother's nose. There's nothing you can do about it. But the spirit of who you're going to become as a man or a woman, I believe that you can choose. It is indeed biblical. Scripture tells us that we are all born with a spirit that allows us to embrace God, whatever you perceive God to be. Well, that same spirit can be beaten down into darkness. Now, you said you read my book. I've got to say to you, there's a school of thought that says that we are all products of our environment. Meaning, I could have very easily become my stepfather. I could have become another alcoholic, wife-beating, child-abusing, illiterate loser. And a lot of people would have said, well, look where he's from. He didn't have a choice. But I did have a choice. Because I saw the light in my mother and in others with whom I did not share a single drop of blood. Goodness. And I embraced it. Seeing and embracing, those are two separate actions. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Chris, aren't you just talking about extended family? No, I'm not, because just like you can have a dysfunctional family, you can have a dysfunctional extended family. Which is even worse because you chose those people. All right? This whole idea, spiritual genetics, what is it that makes you you that has nothing to do with anatomy, biology, chemistry, or physics? The part of you that cannot be analyzed, quantified, nor measured. That of you that is not composed of DNA, blood type, or pigmentation. The part of you that is beyond the scope, reach, or understanding of science, medicine, or technology. What is that? That is your spirit. And the technology to measure that does not exist.
I love that answer. In fact, as you shared that, I really got goosebumps because aren't you just speaking into the absolute truth there of what it is to have true spirituality and connectedness to something which is so much bigger? Now, Chris.
Now, let me stay on that one point for just a second, because I want to back to your question. Why did I keep going? I was able to draw on the spiritual genetics of those who came before me who had to do more with less. Huh? More with less. It had been done before, sir.
Well, when you speak about doing more with less, this has just prompted such an interesting line of questioning for me. And it goes around the mindset of young entrepreneurs, the mindset of I can't, or I'm challenged, or I don't have this, I don't have that. What I would refer to...
Hold on, let me play the violin while you sing this song.
Absolutely, what I call scarcity consciousness. Now, Chris, today, you're a massively successful, respected, wealthy man. And if I look at when you started your business, you did so with a capital of $10,000, a single piece of furniture. Now, it's just absolutely brilliant. So you sit there and you now have the fruits. You've done an enormous amount of work on the roots, and as a result of that, the fruits eventually came, and you're there, and you're now living this wonderful life, this life of abundance and joy and prosperity and all of those great words. The thing is, what message would you give? What powerful message would you deliver to the young people of South Africa? And what's wonderful about the Success Show is we have a massive young audience that listens to this radio show and are very driven through the interviews that we share and having wonderful people like you step into the show. What message would you give to them that are currently grappling with that scarcity consciousness? I can't get a business off the ground. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough knowledge, etc. How would you take that bull by the horns?
I would say Chris Gardner's not doing anything that you could not do.
Amen.
Okay. And let's do this. Let's talk about this for a second. I'm glad you asked me that. First of all, let me say this. Preparation for becoming a small business owner for me, my preparation was homelessness. When you're starting a small business, your own business, you're starting with limited or no resources.
Correct.
When you are homeless, you got limited or no resources.
Oh my.
Okay. And I talk to young people about this all around the world who come to see me and say, I want to start, but I don't have this and I don't have that. And how do I get ready? And I ask them, well, would you like to be homeless for a year with a child? And by the way, you know this. I don't know if your listeners know this. My son was 14 months old, not 5 years old. He was still in diapers.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the homelessness experience, limited, no resources, small business, limited, no resources. Again, that's a universal experience.
Wow.
Right? And that can happen any place on the planet. Let's take it a step further. There's a scene in the film that takes place on the basketball court. I don't know if you recall, but it's...
Yes, I do.
In the original screenplay, our screenwriter had a very dark view of the world. And in the original screenplay, when that little boy throws up the ball and says, I'm going pro, the father says, forget it. That will never happen. I was no good at it, so that means that you can't do it. I waited until we were going to film that scene that day, and I went up to Will Smith and I said, you cannot tell that to that little boy because that's not what my mother told me.
Beautiful.
We had a very intense discussion about it for 30 minutes. Me, Will Smith, our director, Gabriel Muccino, and one of the producers. The producer's position was, well, the father's got to keep it real with the kid. My position was, man, you live in Hollywood. What you know about keeping it real?
Wow.
And after 30 minutes, it was Will Smith who says, you know what? Chris is right because my mother told me the same thing. And we took out the original script and we tore it up. And what we wrote was, don't ever let somebody else tell you what you can't do. You got a dream. You got to protect it. You want something? Go get it, period. That would be my message.
Chris Gardner, I love that message so much that if it were humanly possible, I would dive through the laptop and hug you.
Will you just hold that to me when I get to Johannesburg?
We're
going
to have to save that one for backstage. Absolutely. Now, Chris, your autobiography was released in May 2006. And the box office hit movie with Will Smith in it was released in December that same year. When all this fame and success, if you will, rushed at you, what was going through your mind?
Hold on.
Explain more.
Hold on. Strap in. Look, okay, here's the deal. The biggest movie star in the world is about to play you in his next film. Sony's going to push a button, and they're going to spend $100 million on marketing alone. That means hold on. That means, whoa! All right. You don't know what's on my, you can't imagine how all of that, the whole world changes immediately. Okay? But the key is, you have to stay true to who you are. Let all this other stuff happen, but you stay true to who you are. And that is how you're able to sustain and continue to build the life that you want to build and not live an imaginary life. Another thing I learned, it stay the hell out of Los Angeles. Oh my God. Stay out of LA. Look, man, I just got back here last night. I actually took a day trip to Los Angeles. I flew from Chicago to Los Angeles for a 1 hour presentation, got back on the plane and got the hell out of Los Angeles. Stay out of LA.
That's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Now, Chris, you've achieved so much. You've inspired so many. I guess at this point, the question I'd love to ask you is, what more is there for Chris Gardner to do? What else would you...
Everything.
Right, when you say everything, do you still have big dreams? Are you still actively chasing them?
You know what, man? I am tremendously excited about things that we are pursuing right now. I've never been more excited about things that we're pursuing right now. And I'm very conscious that when you're talking about doing something that you're truly passionate about, no matter what you've already accomplished, the opportunities are as big as the sky. And you're just a speck. But the key is to be a purposeful and directed speck. We've recently signed. We're going to be the executive producers on a documentary on the life of Dr. Maya Angelou.
Wow.
Dude, it's never been done. Can you imagine that? It has never been done. We're making it happen here. That's number one. Number two, we're in the process of creating a different type of financial institution that could become phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I can't talk a lot about it until it's done, but that, sir, would be my personal Sistine Chapel. And we're also committed to continuing to explore opportunities in South Africa. So my plate is full. Oh, and on top of that, I'm doing 200 speaking engagements a year and writing a new book and possibly creating another television show. So, hey, we're in some good space, but it's all because of all the work that went in on the front end, right? You make some of these things happen and people see that and they respond a certain way, good. But they don't see the work, that road you just came off of. That road wasn't easy, baby. It had hills in it, and rocks, crevices. And the closer you get to the top of that mountain, your supplies are getting low, you're tired, the oxygen is getting depleted. But the closer you get to the top, that's the time you got to keep pressing. So that's where we are right now.
Well, that is just enthralling to hear. And what a fascinating and wonderful discussion it has been with you. And thank you for being so incredibly generous with your time. And As you've been sharing stories with us, there's a very specific quote in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and I love that book. I have read it cover to cover so many times, and Napoleon Hill writes about riches, and he says, when riches begin to come, they come so fast and in such great abundance that you will wonder where they have been hiding during all of those lean years. And he then goes on to say, riches begin with a state of mind and definiteness of purpose. And as I share that with you, I can literally feel every single bit of neurology inside of me firing, because I love that so much. And it seems, Chris, as though what he wrote there in many ways is true to what you experienced. Would that be a fair statement?
You know what? I would take it a step further, and I will say this. God always has a bigger dream.
Oh, wow.
Whatever you, I, your listeners, the viewers, you got a dream? God always has a bigger dream. But you got to do the work. You know, my mom moved to heaven 20 years ago, but I still talk to her every day, and we're still having the same conversation. She'll ask, son, did you do your work? Yes, ma'am. Did you pray on it? Yes, ma'am. Well, keep working, because God's busy. Huh? God's got to help somebody else right now. You just keep working. And, hey, man, thank you for this time, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, we're going to be in Johannesburg August 31st, correct?
That's absolutely right, at Gallagher Estate Midrand National Achievers Congress 2014 with Success Resources.
I am looking forward to that. And before we go, you have to do one thing for me. You have to get a special message to my next wife. She is in Cape Town, South Africa. Tell her, please, let's get to work, okay?
Absolutely. That is done. And once again, thank you so much for being so generous with your time. What a beautiful interview this has been. And I use that word beautiful because having chatted to you, and it's been about 30 minutes, you have touched me, Chris. You've touched me so deeply inside of my heart. If this is what you do on a Skype chat, I cannot even begin to think what you're going to do when you're live on stage. It has been such a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
No, sir. Thank you. And I will see you with Joe Byrne.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chris.
Take care. Next.
Now, how was that? You're back with the Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles. Wasn't Chris Gardner just fantastic? He absolutely brings a tear to the eye, a magnificent man, and I really cannot wait to meet him when he comes to South Africa. Now, we're going to be podcasting tonight's show on Makes You Think. podbean.com, and thank you so much for sharing our show with your friends and family. We are almost through 70,000 downloads. I think that is absolutely fantastic, and Chris and I are delighted. And once again, we just want to say thank you so much for National Marriage Week, for asking Chris and I to be ambassadors for National Marriage Week 2014. And if you'd like to know more, you can join us on mymarriage.co.za in support of Marriage Week. Now, once again, if you'd like to pick up your tickets with the mixed special offer for NAC 2014, which is going to be on August the 30th and 31st, you can go to nacsouthafrica.com/mixfm. You've been listening to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles.
Success begins in the 6 inches between your ears. If you want more money, more time, more happiness, and more love in your life, then listen to The Success Show with Chris and Suzanne Stiles every Tuesday night at 7:15.